this Wednesday at 18:30 UT.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off Monday's show with Liverpool's hat-trick hero, Mohamed Salah. The Egyptian football star is now the most prolific African goal scorer in English Premier League history, as we hear now from Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian talisman Mo Salah became the highest top-scoring African player in Premier League history after scoring a hat-trick to help Liverpool dismantle Manchester United 5-0 at Old Trafford on Sunday. The 29-year-old's tally of 107 goals has now overtaken former Ivorian's keeper and Chelsea frontman Didier Drogba, who scored 104 goals during his stint in the Premier League. Salah's Liverpool teammate and Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane sits third in the highest scoring list of African players with 100 goals, which includes 21 from his previous stint at Southampton. During the match, the 2018 African Football of the Year registered his name on the score sheet by scoring twice in the first half and in the 50th minute, with Diogo Jota and Guinean midfielder Naby Keita also scoring for the Reds. Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer admitted the disastrous loss was his quote-unquote darkest day as United's manager.
No, it's not easy to say something apart from it's the darkest day I've had leading these players, and we weren't good enough individually as a team. Can't give a team like Liverpool them chances, and unfortunately we did. The whole performance wasn't good enough, that's for sure. We've created openings, they've had chances, they've been clinical. We didn't take our chances early on, and then the third goal, obviously, is the one that decided the game.
Liverpool fans chanted, quote-unquote, Ole must stay towards the end of their fierce rivalry. Perhaps an indication of a man under pressure to keep his jobs at the Theatre of Dreams. The Red Devils' former managers David Moyes, Louis van Gaal and Jose Mourinho were all axed moments after it became clear that the team were headed towards a disastrous downward spiral. The defeat even prompted high-flying Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp to admit he wouldn't want to be in the United manager's position while also heaping praise on his team's performance.
What can I say? Did I expect that? No. But what we did in the last third today was absolutely insane. In the first half, how we pressed them high, how we won balls, how we get the balls in the right areas, played from there, scored wonderful goals. Actually, in half time, I really told the boys we have to play better because we gave, not in the last third, but all the rest. So it was like we started incredibly well. And then again, we stopped playing football. It's when Ali chips the balls, we have absolutely no mechanism for that. So like long ball there and then. So what do we do with that? But it's only because we don't show up and want to play. So, and obviously then scoring the fifth goal. So scoring the fourth before halftime, scoring the fifth then, and then game over, and then we just controlled the game. And it was not about scoring more or whatever, just we tried getting without injuries out of the game, but didn't work really well.
Thus, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp celebrating his team's record win against their fierce Premier League rivals Manchester United. Mason Mount scored a hat-trick, while English football of Ghanaian descent Callum Hudson-Odoi, Rick James, Ben Chilwell and Max Aaron's own goal helped a well-oiled Chelsea machine demolish Norwich City 7-0 at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel was delighted by his team's performance in his post-match reactions.
Yes, we had a good performance and we were sharp and put in a lot of effort. And result was that we have high pressing and many ball wins and could play a high rhythm and create a lot of chances, and were very precise today in finishing, and also a well-deserved win. Okay, to score seven, need also a bit of luck and the momentum, but it's a good effort and good game.
That's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel's reaction following the Blues' thrilling Premier League win against Norwich City. Algerian captain Riyad Mahrez, Ilkay Gundogan and Gabriel Jesus were all on the score sheet as second-place Manchester City cruised to a 4-1 win against Brighton, while Ghanaian midfielder Thomas Partey scored his first goal for the Gunners, who handed Aston Villa a 3-1 beating to extend their unbeaten run in the Premier League to 6 games. Gabon's keeper Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored Arsenal's second goal, while Emile Smith-Rowe sealed the deal to help the Gunners climb up to 10th in the Premier League table. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta praised his young squad after the win.
What I like the most is the way the team reacted on Monday evening, how we finished the game and how they were in the dressing room, accepting that it wasn't good enough, that we played to a really good level in some parts, but to a level that is not acceptable in others. And we are the youngest team in the league, but that's not an excuse. We cannot change the age, so we cannot find this kind of excuses. We have to find why those things happen in the game, find the right solutions, and then put them right and believe that they can play at that level because they can. But today, I am really satisfied with the performance and results.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta's reaction after his team's win against Aston Villa. French league leaders Paris Saint-Germain were held to a 0-0 draw against Marseille, while defending champions Lille also failed to win their match after earning a 1-1 draw against Brest in the French league. Canadian forward of Haitian descent Jonathan David put Lille ahead in the 18th minute before Romain equalized for Brest through a late first-half free kick. Third-place Nice beat Lyon 3-2 as Monaco hammered Montpellier 3-1. Thanks to goals from Kevin Volland, French striker of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder, and Portuguese footballer of Cape Verdean descent Gelson Martins. Moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Austrian defender of Nigerian descent David Alaba's sensational strike and a late goal from Lucas Vazquez helped La Liga giants Real Madrid and a Hartford 2-1 victory against Barcelona in an El Clasico match that was played at Camp Nou on Sunday. The victory marked Carlo Ancelotti's first win at Camp Nou in 6 visits, with his side now lying second in the table with 20 points. Luis Suarez also scored twice as Atletico Madrid came from behind to secure a 2-2 draw against league leaders Real Sociedad on Sunday. Sociedad took an early lead when Swedish striker of Eritrean descent Alexander Isak and Alexander Saloth both registered their names on the score sheet for Sociedad, who remained top of the standings with 21 points from 10 games, while Atletico currently sit 4th, 3 points behind the leaders. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Just ahead, Samson Omale will tell us about an Ethiopian athlete running to a world record in Spain.
With the Valencia Marathon, where Ethiopia's Lisinsbet Gide smashed the women's half marathon world record on Sunday, finishing in 1 hour, 2 minutes and 52 seconds. The 23-year-old Gide, who is also the world 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters record holder, shaved more than a minute off the previous half marathon mark of 1 hour, 4 minutes, 2 seconds, set by Kenya's Ruth Chepngetich this year. In the men's race, Kenya's Abel Kipchumba made a late charge to win in 58 minutes, 0.7 seconds, moving him to 6th on the world all-time list. Fellow Kenyans Ronet Kipruto was 2nd and Daniel Matieko was 3rd as the top 7 men finished the World Athletics Elite Labour Road Race inside 59 minutes. Staying with athletics, Olympic running greats came together on Saturday to bid farewell to rising Kenyan star Agnes Tirop, whose murder earlier this month sent shockwaves across the nation. nation and the athletics world. A double world championships bronze medalist tipped for future stardom on the track, Tirop was buried in a white casket in central Kenya on what will have been her 26th birthday. Perez Chepchechir, Olympic marathon champion, and Amos Kipruto, men's marathon bronze medalist, paid glowing tribute to the slain long-distance Olympic runner.
It's a bad moment to us, and Agnes Tirop is our champion. It was so sad to me.
I remember Agnes and 2019, when we are in World Championship, because Agnes got a bronze medalist in the 10,000, and I got a bronze medalist in marathon. It's really painful.
At the burial of Tirop, Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tuwei unveiled plans to honor Tirop.
We are going to honor our athlete, Agnes Tirop, by giving her the name of Agnes Tirop Memorial Cross-Country Tour in Eldoret.
Tirop's body was found on October 13th with stab wounds in the bedroom of her home in Etienne, a high-altitude training hub for top-class athletes.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. And speaking of top-class athletes, three top-class African athletes have been nominated for the 2021 World Athlete of the Year Award, as we hear now from Douglas Mpuga.
Nominations have been announced for World Athlete of the Year 2021. Among the nominees are three Africans: Kenya's Faith Kipyegon and Eliud Kipchoge, and Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei. Kipyegon won the Olympics 1500 meters title in August, becoming only the third woman to retain her title after becoming a mother in between games. The 27-year-old was one of the 10 female nominees named by World Athletics. The 10 male nominees were revealed, with Cheptegei named after a year in which she became the 5,000 meters Olympic champion and also won 10,000 meters silver in Tokyo. Already a two-time World Athlete of the Year, 36-year-old Kipchoge won the men's marathon title at the Olympics. Not only does he hold the world record, but the two-time Olympic gold medalist is also the only man to have run the distance in under 2 hours in assisted conditions in 2019. The male and female World Athletes of the Year will be announced in December.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we're looking at the impact of COVID-19 restrictions on air travel across the continent. As countries open their skies again and travelers board planes, where do African countries stand on vaccine passports? Join me, Haley Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page today, Monday, you'll see a photo of Liverpool's hat-trick hero, Mo Salah, celebrating after his third goal on Sunday against Manchester United. In Olympic news, there has been controversy leading up to the 2022 Winter Games, scheduled to begin in China in February. The latest protest is in Greece. VOA's Elizabeth Lee tells us more.
The famed Acropolis in Athens, Greece, has become a place of protest. Teles Aksang, one of the activists holding a flag, is there to speak out against China.
At the Acropolis, myself and Joey Su were able to deploy two flags, a Tibetan flag and a Hong Kong Revolution flag, an expression of our identities that would be impossible back in Tibet, China, Hong Kong, East Turkestan, Southern Mongolia, and more.
Human rights activists also briefly disrupted the Olympic flame lighting ceremony at the ancient site of Olympia, where the first Olympic Games took place. Tenzin Yangzum is another human rights activist.
We do not think that the Chinese government is fit to hold these prestigious games, and that it is on us, people of the nation, people of the conscience, to bring about awareness and to fight for human rights and stand on the right side of history.
The events in Greece mark the latest protests against the location of the 2022 Winter Games. In July, the European Parliament passed a resolution calling on government officials to boycott the Games. The action, prompted by China's implementation of the national security law in Hong Kong, following months of pro-democracy demonstrations. Chinese state media say the controversial security law aims to make Hong Kong safer. But international observers say it erodes democracy and limits freedom of speech and the right to assemble. In May, U.S. lawmakers also pushed to move the Olympics to another location. U.S. Congressman Jim McGovern.
If we can postpone an Olympics by a year for a pandemic, we can surely postpone an Olympics for a year for a genocide. This would give the IOC time to relocate to a country whose government is not committing atrocities.
Human rights groups have blasted China for its detention of Uyghur minority Muslims. China denies any abuses, saying many Uyghurs are not being detained, but sent to learn vocational skills to help fight poverty. Jiang Jianguo is with China's publicity department.
Our struggle with the U.S. and the West over human rights is actually not about human rights in nature. That is because they want to make human rights a big stick to suppress us.
Beijing claims the protests against holding the Olympics in China are politically motivated. China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Zhao Lijian.
China stands ready to work together with the international community to reject the politicization of sports and demonstrate a new Olympic spirit of greater unity and support for each other while marching toward the future.
A stance activists reject.
Human rights abuses and genocide is not a political issue.
As the protests and controversy continue, the 2022 Winter Beijing Olympics is scheduled to begin in February. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Washington.
My name is Shida Lin, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African women's football beat, 11-time champion Nigeria is through to the final qualifying round for the 2022 Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. The Super Falcons of Nigeria lost to the Black Queens of Ghana in Accra on Sunday 1-0. But the Nigerian women advanced by winning the two-match qualifying series on aggregate, 2-1. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
Whenever Nigeria and Ghana come face-to-face in any football competition, it is always going to be very, very competitive. The rivalry between the two West African nations has dated back for decades ago. And also when it comes to women's football, these are two of the top five nations in Africa when it comes to women's football. And so the game between Nigeria and Ghana decided over 4 days in Lagos and Accra last week were the best of women's football. In Lagos, Nigeria won 2-0, both goals scored in the first half by Uchenna Kanu, based in Sweden. And in his return leg in Accra on Sunday, Nigeria lost by a lone goal scored in the second half by Princella Adubea. You know, it was really, really a competitive fixture. Both teams gave it their best because nobody really wants to miss out of the Africa Women's Championship, which will be hosted by Morocco next year. In the end, Nigeria managed to hold on. The Ghanaians hit the crossbar late in the game. You know, that's just the hallmark of any fixture between Nigeria and Ghana. Always competitive, always feisty. Two red cards were produced by the referees. One to Nigeria, one to Ghana. You know, it's had all the ingredients of an epic football match. And I'm sure those of us that watch the game are very, very excited to see women's football in Africa played at that level.
Any game between Nigeria and Ghana is always tough. What were your expectations on the women's game?
My expectations were that it led to the best of African women's football, and the game did not disappoint. Although from the Super Falcons' perspective, especially on Sunday, you had the feeling that they really should be doing much, much better than that. They are the reigning champions of the Women's Africa Cup of Nations. They are the African team to have gone farthest in the World Cup, the quarterfinal stage. But the performance in Accra on Sunday left so much more to be desired. The head coach around the world drum really knows that Nigerians are not impressed at all by that performance. But my expectation will always be that, you know, the Ghanaians are going to push Nigeria all the way. Like I mentioned earlier on, a spot at the African Women's Championship is up for grabs. And this is the first time that the loser among these two teams will not be there. And this is Ghana this time around. You know, it's ignominious for them. And that added an extra dimension to the game. Expectations were met, I must say, by the fight. You know, you could see the passion, the adrenaline pumping, you know, in the ladies on the pitch on Sunday. And I think it was a very good advert for football, women's football, not only in the West African sub-region, in Africa at large.
Losers in the qualifying matches will not play any international game for 2 years. Do you think the Confederation of African Football should organize a tournament to keep such teams busy?
I really do think that CAF need to have a second look at the new format of playing regional qualification series for some of their competitions. I know this has been going on for a couple of years now at under 17, under 20 men's level, but having it for the senior women's national teams is a no-no. Now we've been robbed of having a quality team like Ghana. Anyone that saw the game on Sunday against Nigeria, and even the one they played in Lagos on Wednesday, will agree with me that the Black Queens deserve to be at the Nations Cup. But because of this new format, it has pitted two of Africa's biggest teams together at the very first round. That's unfair on African women football fans. We have been deprived of the opportunity to watch one of Africa's best teams at the Nations Cup next year. Now, after this, Nigeria take on Ivory Coast, another team that is emerging from the West African sub-region. This should not fly. As much as we really want to encourage Minos, as much as we really want to encourage development of football in all the countries, we still really should not sacrifice quality. We should not sacrifice the traditional teams on that altar. I think CAF really have to take a look at it very well, because it spells danger and, of course, doom for women's football. Now, for 2 years, Ghana will not be in action in women's top football competition. No, I don't think that's good enough. And I do sincerely hope that the Patrice Motsepe-led CAF will have a rethink about this.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, on Tuesday's show, Magume Davis-Rakowinj in Kampala will have a feature on this Ugandan kickboxing champion.
My name is Apollo Patricia. I'm a world kickboxing champion and currently reigning as a world kickboxing champion. We came to Cairo, Egypt on the 17th of October with a team of 9 players, with 1 player acting as a coach, making a team of 10. The performance of the team surprised me myself as we came here. You know, the players were very prepared of other countries, and they have been performing in and out every month, twice, every after 2 months. But our team also did the best they could. And they won the titles, they won the bell, I mean the medals, silver, bronze, and golds in MMA, in full contact, and in low kick. So I'm really, really very grateful for the team I came with. And I thank so much my sponsors for giving us this opportunity to come and stand in this international stage. And it has given exposure to Uganda as a country and as players, to see and to reach beyond that we can ever reach. So thank you so much, and Elohim bless you. Shalom.
Shalom, Patricia. That's Patricia Apolat, kickboxing champion from Uganda, and she'll be the subject of a feature on Tuesday's show by Magume Davis-Rakowinj. Here in the United States, Major League Baseball's 117th World Series will begin Tuesday night in Houston, Texas. That's where the Houston Astros will host the Atlanta Braves in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The Braves eliminated the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend, winning 4-2 in Atlanta, Georgia. The Braves won the National League Championship Series 4-2. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta.
Eddie Rosario ripped a 3-run home run in the fourth inning to power the Atlanta Braves to a 4-2 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers and send the Braves to their first World Series since 1999. Rosario's blast gave him 14 hits, 3 home runs, and 9 RBIs in the NLCS. Braves manager Brian Snitker had this to say about the series MVP.
It's amazing how locked in he is. I mean, it doesn't matter what arm they're throwing with. I mean, he's just so locked in. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a guy like that for, this has been a while now that what he's been doing is just, it's been something else.
Atlanta starter Ian Anderson went 4, giving up a run on 3 hits. Walker Buehler started for the Dodgers and went 4 innings, giving up all 4 Braves runs. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player Dave Cowens. Cowens is celebrating his 73rd birthday on this Monday. He won 2 NBA titles with the Boston Celtics during his playing days and was named the league's most valuable player in 1973. Happy birthday, Dave Cowens. And that wraps up the October 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.